The high school graduation rate in Oregon lags behind the rest of the country, and it is a cause of ongoing concern. New numbers out last week show improvement. You could round up to 77% for the last completed school year, which is about 2 points better than the year before. But that still puts Oregon behind California in the low 80s, which is right around the national average. There's work ahead, clearly, and many people already working on raising the graduation rates. Let's go to the top in Oregon. Colt Gill is the acting deputy superintendent of public instruction. He has been nominated for the job to take the acting off of it, but that has not been confirmed yet by the Senate. Colt Gill, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on the elevation, I think.
Yeah, good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you. We are happy about the steady improvements over the last several years.
So let's talk about that. I mean, was it too much to hope that Oregon's graduation rate might jump more than 2 points?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is challenging to, across a state the size of ours and talking about student population the size of ours, to move rates. This is a significant amount to get 2% in 1 year. And when you look at our average over the last 3 years, we've increased nearly 5%, so 4.7 points. And some of our groups of students that we've really been concentrating on have seen increases of 7 points or more.
So you concentrate on certain groups because as you break things out demographically, the number sort of comes apart differently depending on who you are.
Yeah, definitely. So in Oregon, when we look at the students who aren't reaching graduation in 4 years, the standouts are students with special education needs, students who have English language needs, Latino students, African American Black students, migrant students. All of those groups of students are more challenged to reach our Oregon's really very rigorous graduation requirements within the four-year timeline. And what we've seen for them is again, jumps of over 7 points for each of those groups, and for our English language learners, nearly 10 points over the last 3 years.
Which is significant for sure. But what it does to the overall rate, though, is we stand at, is it 76.7% for the four-year cohort graduation rate?
Yes, that's correct.
So that's the class of 2017 getting out in 4 years, 76.7%. Why is the four-year number so important?
So the four-year number is really important for a couple of reasons. So one is that, you know, that's what we typically think of as a high school career, is your freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year, and that we want students to be ready to go on into the world and seek more education or enter the world of work at that point. And that's just what we all typically think of as the high school career. I think aside from that, this is the agreement among states as are federally reported. So while we at ODE do release numbers for five-year cohort graduation rates and then some completer rates that include GEDs and other kinds of certificates, the four-year cohort rate is the one that's compared nationally and the one that seems to get the most attention.
And I should point out to anybody who wants to brave this, there are all kinds of charts, tables, and spreadsheets, and you can look at numbers until you go blind. I want to bring in one other one at just this moment, though, because in addition to the 76.7% four-year cohort graduation rate, you go two columns to the right and you get the four-year cohort completer rate. What does that mean?
So the completer rate includes students who earn a GED, and a few other kinds of certificates, like an adult basic learner certificate. And oftentimes that can be something that a community college might deliver to a student.
All right. So that does bump things up just a little bit more to 80.2%.
Right.
And so just in terms of being able to compare Oregon with other states, Colt Gill, have we gone further north at all? Are we getting closer to the middle of the pack anyway?
Yeah, we won't know that until next fall or early winter. That's when the federal reports come out that have the state-by-state comparisons. And I would say a couple of other things about those state-by-state comparisons. One is that each state develops its own graduation requirements. So Oregon has some of the most rigorous in the country with a 24-credit requirement for our students. There are only a handful, less than 10 states, that match our number of credit requirements for students to graduate from high school. And then within that, we have some pretty rigorous requirements around what kinds of credits those have to be. For example, 3 credits of math, all Algebra 1 or higher. We also require students to demonstrate proficiency in reading, writing, and math, and that's something that most states have don't do. They don't have exit exams that students have to demonstrate any level of proficiency. So we have this issue of some states, you know, saying that are to earn a diploma in their state, you can earn as little as 13 credits. In Oregon, it's 24. So it's hard to compare state to state in that way. There are also some issues around states that offer multiple diplomas. So there are a few states that offer one diploma, like Oregon's, that they usually label like an honors diploma or a college and career ready diploma. And then they have another diploma that's their regular one that has a lesser set of requirements.
I was going to ask you what the bottom requirements would be in some states, and I was going to range as low as 18, but 13 credits is all you need to graduate in some states?
In some states. And then some states are very much local control, and they don't have any state-level requirements for their diploma. They're all set at the local school district level.
So to try to go for state-by-state comparisons is sort of like apples and cranberries or something, isn't it?
It's a little challenging, and we feel a little challenging for us in Oregon, as both our State Board of Education and legislature believe that students should leave school with a plan and be prepared to fulfill that plan either in the workplace or entering college, you know, ready to succeed. So they've really ramped up the standards over the last several years in Oregon to make our diploma pretty rigorous in order to prepare students for that next step.
We were talking about Oregon's high school graduation rate. Numbers out last week show we're nudging 77% at 76.7. That is the rate for the four-year cohort graduation rate. Those are the students in the class of 2017 who got out on time with the rest of their folks' diploma in hand. Colt Gill is the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction, so essentially the top of the Department of Education in Oregon, below only the governor. You can join the conversation on the exchange about what we're doing with students in Oregon public schools. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And let me see if I need to correct myself there. Is this just for public schools or is this all students in Oregon?
This is just public schools, and in public schools in Oregon, that does include alternative schools, and it includes charter schools.
All right, let's take a call here. We have David in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Colt Gill.
Good morning. Could you speak to the relationship between dropout rates, which I understand is fairly considerable in the state, and graduation rates? Because I think the graduation rates in a four-year cohort that's increasingly decreasing in number every year might cloud your stats a little.
All right. Thanks for that, David.
Yeah, that is a great question, and one that we get all the time, frankly, because they are not the inverse of each other. So the dropout rate in Oregon is a yearly count, so it's a yearly dropout rate, and it's actually a fairly low number in Oregon, so it typically is somewhere between 3% and 5% dropout rate, which doesn't compare to the 23% of our students who aren't graduating within 4 years. So this cohort graduation rate is a federal definition that really follows a cohort of students from the time they enter ninth grade all the way through to the time that they graduate or don't graduate. And so this counts students as they may leave the system, you know, between 8th and 9th grade in our state. That's not true for every state. And then also sometime during that high school career, where the dropout rate is just a single year count from the beginning of that year to the end of that year.
So, for example, given some of the requirements you've talked about that Oregon has decided to institute in high school, I mean, would this cohort, the class of 2017, have gone through a very different program, different set of requirements than, say, the class of 2013?
So the graduation requirements changed in Oregon about 9 years ago, and they have been the same now for 2 or 3 years. But the way that it worked was each eighth grade class, as they entered high school for several years, got one more set of additional requirements added on to them. So that, you know, started from 10 years ago, it was a 22-credit system, and there were not specific requirements in math, like the example I gave earlier. Mm-hmm. So each year they added one of those requirements on, and that incoming eighth-grade class, as they became freshmen, were made aware of what their requirements were to graduate. So that's something that the state board did so that they didn't change any requirements on any student while they were currently in the high school system. They all knew what their requirements were coming in.
All right, so no changes within a cohort, but the next cohort might have slightly higher requirements of them.
Exactly.
All right, let's take another call here. We have John in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking graduation rates in Oregon with Colt Gill, the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Hi, so I had two questions. I know the second one often gets forgotten, or the first. One of my children graduated with full credits, but she graduated half a semester, half a year ahead, because she was so far ahead and was ready to be done with high school. And I was told that she was not counted as a four-year graduate because she did this in 3.5 years. So I was wondering if that's a statistical tweak. And my bigger question would be, if we have increased our standards so much that we don't have a double diploma or something, are we driving out kids who don't plan on, need to, or at this point are capable of going to college? And we're kind of forcing them to drop out because they just can't deal with all that level of academia at this age, if ever.
All right. Thanks for that, John. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. I'll try to tackle both of those. So a student who does graduate early in our count should count within the four-year cohort count. So it should still be a member of that cohort. They graduated early, which means they exited school, but they exited with a diploma. So there could be something locally that I'm not aware of that may have made a different determination around that, but I believe under the state rules, they would have been counted as a graduate for that cohort class. I think the other question is a critical one. So again, it's finding this balance of ensuring students really are college and career ready so they can make that choice for themselves when they leave the high school system. So ensuring that they have the skills and knowledge to be successful in either route. But we have to balance that with how do we ensure that students are engaged in school? And we have had some challenges with that in Oregon. And I think we have some new things happening with the voter-approved Measure 98, where we'll be able to offer more career technical education kinds of programs, more for the students who are headed towards college, more opportunities for them to begin earning college credits while they're in high school, and then some dropout prevention activities, more counseling supports, those kinds of things for students who may be really struggling through school. One of the things that we find with our students who participate in career technical education, and that can be things like the culinary arts or medical occupations courses where students could earn a pathway to a CNA certification or an EMT certification.
Certified nurse assistant or emergency medical tech?
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. So those kinds of courses, we find students who take those classes oftentimes are heading on for additional college after high school. Some are heading right into the world of work after high school. But in either case, their graduation rates are significantly higher when they get into these kinds of courses that are hands-on and highly engaging. Our four-year cohort rate for students who participated in these technical education kinds of courses, if they earned a credit in just one of those kinds of classes, the rate in Oregon is 86.3%. And if they completed a full set of multiple classes in a program of study, like earning their way towards their EMT, their emergency technician certification, those students graduated 91.7%.
Wow.
In Oregon. So, again, a lot of this is really trying to steer the education towards what is engaging to our students in high school and what will keep them wanting to come back day after day.
And just to underscore what you just said, the 86.3% really pertains to students who might have taken just half a credit. I mean, that little bit of career and technical education, or CTE, to bring in another acronym, really boosts the graduation rate a lot higher.
Yeah, it seems to really make a difference for our student. And I should point out, too, that we talk about the four-year cohort graduation rate, but we don't give up on students after 4 years. So many, many of those students return. Some of those students are just shy of graduation at that point, and they take a summer course, and they've earned the final credit they needed to graduate. Some continue for a fifth or sixth year of school. We continue to track those students. We have just under 2,000 students typically that go on to earn a GED, which it now is a pretty challenging proposition for students that is considered really an equivalency to a high school diploma. So a lot of these students, they just because they don't finish in 4 years doesn't mean that they don't finish high school.
We're talking to Colt Gill, the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction in Oregon, about the graduation rate, which now stands for the class of 2017, getting out in 4 years, 76.7%, which is an improvement by about 2 points over the previous class. Obviously, still keeps us a little short of the national average. You can join the conversation on the exchange with the superintendent, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to come back to career and technical education because it does seem to have such a beneficial effect on students. And you mentioned that under Measure 98, there's supposed to be more of it, but is it still not present in a large percentage of Oregon school districts?
Jeffrey, I'm sorry, I had something come up. Can you repeat that question?
Career and technical education, because it does have such a beneficial effect and boosts the numbers without a great deal of participation. I mean, is it available in every school district?
So it is becoming more and more available. There were times, especially during the recession, where these were the kinds of courses that didn't match up with the high school diploma requirements, and they were cut. These were also years where this group of students that we're talking about right now sometimes experienced shorter school years because school districts cut the number of days they were operating to operate within their budgets. But today, given the Measure 98 investment from the state, we're going to see more and more of these CTE courses offered in our schools again. And there are a number, in fact, in the Southern Oregon region, several of the districts down there. Medford is a leader in CTE courses. The folks at Central Point are opening up new maker spaces for students to have more hands-on learning and engagement. So a lot of really nice programs going on in Southern Oregon right now.
You mentioned Medford specifically, and I do have some numbers in front of me. North Medford High School was at 90.29% graduation rate. That's a gain from the year before. Ashland High School, 87.6%. South Medford High School, 83.07%, so all above the state average, although with some issues in their own districts that they were dealing with. When we get to the things that drive achievement down, I guess the one that really jumped out at me was the money gap, economically disadvantaged students versus not economically disadvantaged. That is a very big difference.
Yeah, that is a real challenge. I think related to that, we also provided this year for the first time ever our homeless student graduation rate, which is even farther off. So our homeless cohort graduation rate was 50.7%, so just barely over half of our students who have experienced homelessness during their high school career are graduating on time. And that's really alarming to us.
It is. So 50.7% for homeless, economically disadvantaged graduation rate 70.1%, not economically disadvantaged 85.4%.
Yep. And I would go back to some of the work that really Southern Oregon has been a leader in on these efforts, and that is implementing social-emotional learning and trauma-informed practices. You have a regional achievement collaborative in Southern Oregon called Southern Oregon Success that has been leading efforts across multiple districts in implementing these kinds of practices that really have been proven over time to curtail chronic absenteeism, keeping kids in school, keeping them engaged, providing earlier interventions for students, and really paying attention to the data so that they're tracking each student and trying to provide the kinds of supports that they need and their family needs for them to be in school every day and on the path to graduation.
We have talked to Southern Oregon Success a couple of times in the program in the person of Peter Buckley, the former state representative, so somebody who knows a bit about the educational system and certainly its funding involved with that. Absenteeism, you just mentioned, though, how large does that figure in graduation rate in Oregon?
So it is another real indicator. So we have a couple of indicators that we know are very predictive of success in high school. One of them is chronic absenteeism. We know the students that are chronically absent from school in Oregon has a very high rate of chronic absenteeism when you compare us nationally. We have some of the highest rates in kindergarten and first grade, and then again in high school. And these are indicators that of students who likely aren't very engaged or are not finding the school a welcoming, open place for them to be. And by choosing not to be at school, they're clearly not gaining the kinds of knowledge and skills that they need to graduate from high school. We have one other indicator that is a statewide indicator that we have now that is even more predictive, and that's the ninth grade on track measure that appears on the school report cards. This measure determines how many credits students have earned in their freshman year of high school, and it can be a very strong predictor to identify students who need additional supports in order to make it through the final 3 years of high school and graduate on time.
So Colt Gill, ultimately, we're down to our last minute or so here. This must be a difficult message to convey that, yes, Oregon's graduation rate looks below the national average, but also if you get a high school diploma in Oregon, you're getting at least as good a diploma as any other state offers. Is that essentially what you're saying?
Yeah, I believe that's absolutely true, especially with our proficiency exams that we have. Students really need to prove that they have a level of proficiency in reading, writing, and math to earn a diploma in Oregon, and have a really high number of credits compared to most states.
And then, so what kinds of programs are focusing, other than CTE, to try to bring the groups that fall a bit behind the average itself up?
So I think there are a number of different kinds of programs for students who find themselves in these other groups. Some of them I talked about around the trauma-informed practices are just ensuring that we're staying connected with each of our student groups as they progress through high school. And there are programs like at Eagle Point where you have freshman success coaches that are connecting with each student who may be missing a credit of high school or failed a course, and trying to ensure that they get them back on track and personally meeting with them and their family.
Okay, all kinds of efforts going on out there. Appreciate the time with you. Colt Gill is the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction, about to be confirmed by the Senate for the permanent job. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
All right, take care.